All right, if I could please call the room to order, if I could ask you to stop your private conversations and focus on the next session, please. Could I also ask for quiet and attention on the next session, please? Thanks, everyone. If we could start the recording now, that would be great. Right. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the second session, Sunday, 17th of November, of the GNSO working sessions here in Buenos Aires. Welcome to Christine Willits of ICANN staff, who's going to be giving us an update on the new GTLD program. Thank you, Christine. I'm sorry we were a couple of minutes late. I think you'll agree that it was an important topic to hear from the previous speakers on. So without further ado, I'll hand over to Christine to give you a brief update, and then we'll move into a Q&A. Please, if I could ask you to pay attention to the topic at the table now.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good morning, all. I'll start with a brief update on the new GTLD program. Given the conversation you just had, I won't spend too much time on name collision. As you all know, ICANN, through the new GTLD program, has begun to delegate the first GTLDs as a result of this round. We've delegated to date 4 IDNs and 20 ASCII strings. We are processing on a weekly basis. Just as we have through evaluation, we have mirrored the process work for contracting, pre-delegation testing, as well as the transition to delegation. So you will see this weekly cadence as we go forward, with the exception of some holidays, I expect, but this weekly cadence of processing. So you can anticipate this a similar pace. We anticipate abiding by the 1,000 delegations per year, which approximates 20 per week. Some could be more. We haven't yet reached that. But that is over the course of 1 year, we anticipate the average of 20 per week. To date, with the program, we have 128 application withdrawals, 4 applications which will not proceed, leaving 1,798 applications which are active. 960 of those applications have been invited into contracting. They are eligible for contracting, meaning they don't have contention, they do not have outstanding objections, they're not subject to pending GAC advice, and they meet all of the criteria to have been invited to contracting. Of those 960 invited, 275 applicants have responded to those invitations. So less than one-third of applicants invited to contracting have responded. And to date, we have signed 144 new GTLD registry agreements. We are scheduling and conducting pre-delegation testing on a weekly basis. To date, we have had 47 applicants pass pre-delegation testing. And we have transitioned a total of those 20, a few more than those 24 strings have been transitioned to delegation, and the 24 delegated for run through the entire process. Evaluation is nearly complete. We still have a few applications remaining, 2 applications remaining in initial evaluation, 27 applications remaining in extended evaluation. We are hoping to complete initial evaluation in the next few weeks and put those to bed. Outstanding change requests and other delays have led to those delays. The extended evaluation we have anticipated for some time, wrapping up by the end of the year, due to clarifying questions and timeline. That may delay just into the new year, but we expect to be materially on course. In terms of another topic I know is of interest is objections. 65% of objections have completed and received determinations. I know there's been a lot of dialogue in the community about some of those results and determinations. Staff is monitoring those. We continue to review the results of those determinations, working with the DRSPs. I can tell you that the new GTLD program committee is continuing to monitor the results of those objection determinations, and it is a topic of much interest. GAC advice. Category 2 GAC advice. The GAC identified 61 strings as generic terms under Category 2, where applicants proposed to provide exclusive registry access. 186 applications were subject to that advice. We inquired with the applicants subject to that advice as to whether they still intended or did indeed intend to operate as exclusive registries, non-exclusive registries, or if their application had said exclusive but now they intended to be non-exclusive. We are left with 11 applications who are stating, applicants who are stating that they intend to operate in an exclusive manner. Any applicants who have stated that their application previously said they were not going to be exclusive but are now intending to be exclusive, we have communicated that we anticipate those applicants submitting a change request to clarify the change in status of their application, that they do intend to operate in a non-exclusive manner. And we have had one non-responsive applicant to those inquiries out of 186. Contention resolution. We have, because we still have the outstanding string confusion objections, we have not updated the contention sets as a result of the objection determinations there. We do anticipate updating those contention sets as a result of all of those determinations together, and once all of the determinations have been reviewed and understood. We have started community priority evaluation, not en masse. We have eligibility criteria to invite applicants into community priority evaluation, again, subject to a variety of other criteria. Four applicants have been invited into community priority evaluation, and two have actually begun the CPE process. The other aspect of contention resolution is the ICANN auction. On November 1st, we published a set of preliminary auction rules around the ICANN auction. We are looking forward to further discussion on those auction rules. We had a webinar on the 7th of November, and we have a session later this week specifically on auctions. We're hoping to get feedback from the community on auctions. Given the current timeline, unless there are further delays, unless we, at this point, we do not intend to go out to public comment with those auction rules. The premise being that we are not changing the guidebook. We are simply clarifying the details that are already within the guidebook, and we are defining the implementation of the ICANN auction. So on that premise, we are actively working with interested parties to receive their feedback, but at this point we're not intending to go to public comment on that. If we were, there could be a further delay, but at this point the anticipated timing is we could be notifying applicants of the intent to auction by the end of the calendar year in December, with the first auction being held as early as late February or March of 2014. A brief update on operational readiness. That's an area that my focus is beginning to shift to. SLA monitoring, eBro, data escrow, all of those functions are in place and operating today. SLA monitoring is in place. We have two tested and verified eBro providers in CORE and Scenic, and we're working on to finalize contracting with two more. So we expect, now that we have delegated GTLDs, we are operationally ready to support and monitor those TLDs. I will leave it there and open it up to questions.
Thank you very much, Christine, for that presentation. We'll open a queue. I have Amado and Brian.
Brian Winterfell, IPC. Thank you, Christine, for the update. A couple quick questions. First question, when do you anticipate clarifying the rules around indirect contention sets in the auctions?
So the rules around auctions, we have a preliminary set of rules published, and we want to get feedback this week. We will continue to take feedback if the community wants further time to contemplate. In terms of the contention set updates, we have been, as applications withdraw, although we haven't published revised contention sets, we do publish the individual results of that withdrawal. So applications become eligible. As we understand, the community is resolving contentions amongst themselves. We do allow those applications to then proceed once the contending application is withdrawn. Once all of the string confusion objections have been determined, as I said, once that is done and we have staff and the NGPC has had sufficient time to review those results, then we will look at updating the full set of contention sets, anticipating that, yes, there will be direct and indirect contentions out of that.
Thank you.
Amado?
Mason, can I ask a couple other questions? Or
yeah,
should I...
sure, go ahead.
Okay, great, thank you. My next question is with regard to the community's concerns around the high dispute resolution fees with regard to the International Chamber of Commerce's is there any movement to do anything about that or plans to address that?
So we did publish a fee schedule from the ICC. They have their own fees also for their standard determination process on their own website. At this point in this round, I don't anticipate the ability to go back and negotiate those fees. We have clarified with the ICC the expectation that once the prevailing party is determined, that those fees would be returned promptly. So that's, at this point, the best we feel we can do with the ICC.
Thank you. One other quick question. Can you provide us any update on the issue regarding singular versus plurals and the inconsistent decisions that have come out?
So there are definitely have been various determinations. Some would call inconsistent. The NGPC has considered this issue and determined not to impose any change at this time.
Thank you.
Amado?
Okay, good morning, Christine and everybody. I'm Amadeo Abriru with CORE Registry Constituency. I have some quick questions regarding timeline in different areas. The first one would be, do you have any feedback from ICC and ICDR on when they will deliver the relatively big number of decisions on objections they have still pending? The second one is on the famous 451 of the RPM and the 100 numbers that may be used by third parties according to Specification 5, the Pioneers Program, so to speak. Does ICANN has a timeline for having a decision on that? And the third one is general timeline. We know we have a bottleneck. I mean, you only have 20-something TLDs that have passed pre-delegation are not yet delegated. You cannot do delegation 20 a week from now on. But according that you have more insight than we have, with the numbers you have, when do you believe that we'll reach somehow steady numbers and we will somehow get to these famous 20 delegations per week that we were expecting some months ago? Thanks.
Thank you, Amadeo. So if I got the first question right, is about the timing of the dispute resolutions, particularly around the limited public interest and community objections managed by the ICC. I recognize and acknowledge that those are coming in later than we had anticipated. The 45-day timeline would have put those determinations somewhere in August. The timeline has been affected primarily for two reasons. One, a number of those objected to applicants or objectors, in fact, have requested a stay or a continuance of the proceedings, and the ICC has granted those. As I understand it, anecdotally, many of those continuances were granted or requested due to GAC advice and being subject to other aspects of the program. So based on those delays, that was one criteria. The other rationale, reason for some of the delays is that ICC has a significant review process that takes somewhere between 4 and up to 8 weeks to review the expert panel's determinations before they are published. So those are two reasons. A third, I understand there were a handful of disputes that the expert panel recused themselves, needed to be reassigned to another expert for determination. So those have been the primary causes for delay. At this point, I expect we will start seeing more of the determinations in those areas later this month, as well as a significant number of them in December. Although I do expect that, given that there are some of these stays which have been granted, we will not see all of them until after the first of the calendar year. That was number one. The RPM process, remind me.
The 100 names that could be used by third parties, not only but for the registry, this 451 of the RPM requirements, in which it says that ICANN may decide that to allow this to be used by third parties, and that ICANN will publish a process for that.
So I understand how important the RPMs are to many of the registry operators. I don't have a date on that. Let me get more information for you. We have an RPM session later this week, I believe Wednesday. So let me take that back to the team, and we'll get you an answer for that session. And then finally, the question was timing and backlog, and when do we think we'll get to 20 per week? So I think much of the delay to get to the 20 per week has been due to the fact that we were holding off on delegation until the name collision report was in a plan was put in place. That happened in mid-October. Once that was completed, we began generating, the team generated the alternate path to delegation or SLD reports and started publishing them. Now that we are doing that, and I know the team is working diligently to get the remainder of those alternate path to delegation reports completed and published very quickly, I think that will open some bandwidth in the pipeline for the path to delegation. I still think that the gating factors are going to be pre-delegation testing. Pre-delegation testing, we currently have capacity of 20 test slots per week. That is, with some notice to the vendor, we are able to increase that at a rate of more than 20 per week, to increase it to 40 per week if we needed to. So I think that there are other ways that we can manage the pipeline. I think you've seen that although the contracting process has not been even and it had a steady flow, that we are fine-tuning that, and we have the capacity and the bandwidth to tune that that process and that machine. Just to reiterate, I want to assure everyone that at each of these queues or each of these gates, we do utilize and use the application priority number as a basis for determining movement onto the next phase, whether it's receiving the contracting information request, getting and receiving a registry agreement, scheduling pre-delegation testing, et cetera.
Okay, the queue now is Ching, Jeff, Christina, and Brian. Ching.
Thank you, Mason and Christine. Hi, Christine. This is Ching Chao from the Registry Stakeholder Group. My question is actually about the reconsideration request, noticing a kind of a growing number of requests that have been posted on the ICANN page this year. So, Christine, could you help, please, perhaps help us understand in general on how these requests are being taken care of, and do you see any impact, or actually a significant impact on any application or on the GTLD program overall? Thanks.
So the reconsideration request is one of three options that anyone in the community, whether it's for the new GTLD program or otherwise, has may avail themselves of as per our bylaws. The ombudsman is one path for fairness issues. There's the reconsideration request, and then there is the IRP. I think given the nature of the program and the sensitivities and importance of the program to many stakeholders and entities, I think we're seeing an uptick in the number of reconsideration requests. The board deals with those requests. Staff does not. Those are considered as per their standard process.
Okay, Jeff.
Good morning, Christine. I have a couple questions on the extended evaluation process. Did everyone that's eligible, it's a follow-up too, so did everyone that's eligible for extended evaluation actually elect for extended evaluation?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And then, as they're coming out, you're publishing the results?
That's correct.
Okay, that was it. That's pretty easy. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. The queue is now Christina, Brian, and Jonathan. And, I have you, Steve. And then we'll close the queue there. We have 10 minutes left before Fadi arrives. Christina.
Christina Rosette. Thanks, Christine. I actually have a follow-up question to Amadeo's question. Although it's helpful to have an understanding of kind of some of the buckets into which the delayed ICC decisions fall, the vast majority don't fall into any of those buckets. So where the parties are now kind of 8-plus weeks out from when the panelists had informed them that their decisions were due, what information can be provided to the parties as to what's going on and when they can expect a decision?
Thanks, Christina. I will tell you, my staff has weekly meetings with all of the dispute resolution providers. Although we don't get substantive information or results information, we are managing them on a process basis. So we are monitoring timing and delays. I wasn't aware of any that had passed that 8-week mark. I would certainly want to know about that. So if you would let us know about that through the customer service center, which specific determinations, because I think the objector and the applicant are notified by the expert, whereas ICANN is not. So I think you may have more information than we are getting at this point on that. So if there are delays beyond that 4 to 8 week review timeline, I'd certainly want to know about that, and we'd be happy to work with the ICC. We feel it's also very important that these determinations are published quickly.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Brian Winterfeld, IPC. Thank you again, Christine, for being here. A quick question about sunrise dates and eligibility criteria. Is there any plan to provide that information in a more simple or organized way on the website to access it?
Yes. So ultimately, the intention is to provide a portal with all of the Sunrise TLD startup information consolidated in one place. It has been designed. It's in the process of being rolled out. I don't have an exact date on that. I also believe that the team is working on a consolidated web page. Is it there today? Ah, Karen, of course. Thank you, Karen. So there is now a consolidated web page. So instead of the TLD startup information being on every registry agreement page, it's now being put on a single web page. But there is designs in the work for something more user-friendly as well.
Great. Thank you so much, and thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Brian. Jonathan.
Thanks, Christine. Sorry, I've got two questions on dates, and I hope you didn't already answer these, but just you talked about, as far as I could tell, auction dates notifying applicants, your best estimate was notifying applicants towards the end of the year and then taking place in February, March next year. Will you notify applicants of the start date, or will you actually notify what date will you? I mean, and will it be all applicants in a batch? Will you?
So, thank you, Jonathan. I understand the question. The process includes an initial notification of intent to auction. That is not does not include the notification of the auction date. There is a process which my team will further articulate this afternoon. No, it's only Sunday. Tomorrow afternoon in the CPE and auctions session where we'll be discussing the exact details. But there is a notification of intent to auction. Then there is a notification of an exact auction date. We will go through the a more detailed timeline. The 60 to 90 days is based on all of the steps being conducted.
Thanks. Thank you. And then the second date, and you may have touched on this, is when you've done all the work on the name collision study, when will you provide the actual list to applicants so that they, and will that be before contracting or after or?
So in terms of the alternate path to delegation reports, at the moment we have been providing them prior to delegation, post-contracting. However, we are working to get all of those reports completed and published soon. So they will be public prior to contracting for applicants.
Thank you.
Steve.
Yeah, can I just ask a quick follow-up? So I thought Cyrus had made the statement saying that all the reports would be out prior to Buenos Aires. Did I misread that?
You did not misread that. The team is actively working on making that happen.
Hey, Christine. Steve DelBianco with the Business Constituency. With respect to the dispute resolution determinations, you said that staff reviews and that the NGPC monitors them. And what I'm anxious to understand, particularly with respect to the singular plural decisions, is you have promised in the past that staff is looking at ways to ensure consistent and understandable results. What's your progress on that, and what should we expect staff will be able to do with decisions to make them understandable?
So, frankly, I don't think staff has, it's within our purview to change the guidebook and change the criteria of determinations. We review the determinations to understand them, to understand the basis and the rationale being used by those experts. We share information on those results with the NGPC. The NGPC continues to consider options for handling that. So I expect that staff will not initiate action, but should the NGPC determine to direct staff to take action, we certainly will do so.
So that if a singular plural group of applicants then, while we're waiting on the option to make the results consistent, I assume then they won't be invited to go to contracting while you finish exploring your options.
So the NGPC, specifically on the issue of singular versus plural, the NGPC has considered that issue on multiple occasions and has determined not to take action on the singular versus plural.
There won't be an attempt to make those results consistent.
Well, I think that the view is not common and shared that they are inconsistent. I think there's an appreciation that there are different results for different reasons and different rationale. But the idea of differences due to a single letter or singular versus plural, there are already strings in the root that vary by one letter. There are many other strings applied for that vary by only one letter. So the issue of singular versus plural is to my mind, a narrow part of a broad issue of variance between strings. So the NGPC has looked specifically at singular plural, and I can say at this time they have elected. I want to say it was a month ago, June, determined not to take action on that.
All right, we have just one more minute before the close of the session. Any other questions from the floor? Okay, Amadeo, and then we'll close the queue there.
Okay, Christine, this is Amadeo Abril from CORE again, and I have a question regarding name collisions. When we receive the name collision report and we see the other ones, we have just a list of the names that appear in the famous collision list. Now, there is some important information that's missing there to make an informed assessment of what to do, not for our TLDs, but for future TLDs that will come, which is where these requests come from and how frequent they were. And I'm saying this perhaps regarding those that may have much larger names and that some of these names may come from their internal networks. For instance, we have some telcos that had, you know, a very large amount of collisions in the first report we had. So in order for them to know whether they move into, you know, alternate delegation path or, you know, the weight, because they have a serious security risk, just knowing the frequency of each name and the origins, the IP addresses, perhaps this may not be published, but could this at least be communicated to the operator so they can understand whether there was an internal problem, there was an external problem, or how they could better handle that, please?
Thank you, Amadeo. I am not close enough to the data to report on what is or is not available, but I will take that request back to the team to see what information is available, and so we can respond to that. Thank you.
All right, we'll close the queue there. Christine, thank you very much. And we'll take a break if we could stop the recording, and we'll prepare for our meeting with Fadi. Christine, thank you.
Thank you very much, Christine. So just to give you all an update on the schedule, the current schedule has us meeting with ICANN CEO Fadi Chihadi now, followed by a meeting with senior